I woke up this morning, I've just been praying that God would give me an on-time message for you guys, and I woke up this morning and I just had kind of a vision, it was sort of like a daydream. Anybody ever daydreamed before? When people start talking about visions and stuff like that, they think, well, Jesus appeared in my bedroom and whatever. No, that did not happen. I just had sort of I was awake, so it wasn't a dream. But I woke up and I just had this image in my mind. I want to kind of paint the picture of what I saw, and I believe it was applicable to your lives and to my life as well. And I believe that God will help me to make sense of everything that I believe that He showed me this morning. But I saw this. Anybody ever seen an image of somebody or ever been fly fishing? Anybody saw a picture of somebody going fly fishing, or maybe on a video? Anybody ever see the movie A River Runs Through It? I'm like dating myself here. Okay, all right. They got the stream, and you got the fishermen and the waders and that kind of stuff. And I kind of saw this in a sort of a daydream this morning, that there's a fisherman, a fly fisherman out there, and he's got his bait on the end of his reel. Anybody know what I'm talking about, fly fishing? Anybody ever been regular fishing before? What happens? You put your bait on the end of a hook, right? You cast your line into the water, right? Cast your line into the water. Well, fly fishing is a little different. Regular fishing, I'm not a fisherman by any stretch of the imagination. I've been fishing a couple times, and I was basically grossed out by putting the worm on my hook. So, I mean, all right, I got a witness. All right. Some of you think, man, you're not even a real man. What are you talking about? I can't touch a worm. It just grossed me out. It didn't have a lot of fun doing that. I got my hands dirty. I don't like my hands to be dirty. It's just, I'm a real man. So basically, real fishing, you cast your line out on the water, and if you're really, really fishing, then you have a bobber. Okay, you know what I'm talking about, a bobber? Okay, that lets you know if something's nibbled on your bait a little bit, because the bobber goes underwater. That's for us noobs. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you girls are even looking at me like, what? You use a bobber? What are you talking about? Don't look at me like that, Lindsay. I know you're a pro bass fisher. Real fishing, you got your line out in the water and you got your bobber going, and when the bobber goes down, you know that something's nibbling on your bait, and then you yank it really hard. At least that's what I did. It didn't work most of the time. And you reel in a fish, right? Fly fishing's a little different because the bait that they have is not a worm. A lot of times the bait, and they call it a lure, L-U-R-E. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Lure. That's a funny word. Lure. Lure. Everybody say lure. Okay. A lure. And it's basically fly fishing. It is an artificial bait. Artificial bait. So it's not a real fly. Not a real fly on the end of a string. It's an artificial fly. But what happens is the fish, when they see it, and the fly fisherman, he's just kind of, you know, throwing it back and forth and making it look like the appearance of a real fly, okay? But the fish looks at it and sees it as a real fly. He doesn't know it's artificial. He doesn't know that it's a counterfeit. He doesn't know that it's a fake until he's already been snared. The hook's in his mouth, and he's on his way to his impending doom in the frying pan. You know what I'm talking about? So I saw this. I saw this that just in my visionary daydream, if you will, that young people today, your generation, and particularly, you know, the majority of the students in here, I believe that God wouldn't have kind of dropped this on my spirit tonight if this wasn't relevant to where you are in your life. I believe young people in generation, young people in general, in this generation, that there are so many lures out there. Be hesitant to say that word now; I mispronounce it. There's so many lures out there that are trying to ensnare you, trying to get you ensnared in the enemy's trap. There are lures of the world that you've been buying into. There are things that are counterfeits. They're artificial. They're fakes. And they're drawing you away from God's plan for your life. Just like the lure on the end of the fly fisherman's line draws that fish out of the water and causes it to snatch onto that hook. The enemy has some lures that he's tossing and pulling right in front of your eyes. And if you're not careful, you'll quickly leap out of the water and snatch on to one of his lures, and you'll be ensnared. And we see that very clearly in the scripture and even in our own lives. How many of you could readily say that you've been tempted in some way, shape, or form at one point in your life? Go ahead and raise your hand. I mean, I want to be honest here. I'm raising both hands. If, you know, the fact is, if you haven't been tempted to do something wrong, to sin, if you will, and we'll talk about that in a second. If you haven't been tempted in that respect, you're probably not alive. The truth is, we've all been tempted. We've all been tempted. And just because you've been tempted doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean that you've given into that temptation. So let me ask you again. Has anybody ever been tempted in their entire life? Okay, everybody's hand should be going up. All right. Yeah. All right, well, let's look at James 1. We'll put this on the screen, verse 12. And Grayson, I think this is the New Living. No? New Life version? New Living, maybe? All right, just put up New Living and we'll see how it reads, man. This will be fine. Yeah, okay. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Everybody say temptation. Wow, okay. Next, we'll go through verse 16, Grayson. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Isn't that interesting? There is the picture of the lure right there. That temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. Just like the fish in the water is enticed by the artificial bait that the fisherman is throwing out there on his line, you and I are enticed by our own desires. Temptation comes, and guess what? Those desires, if not dealt with, those lures, if not dealt with, if not seen for what they really are, they will lead to sinful actions. And then ultimately, when sin is allowed to grow, it says, it gives birth to death. And we see that in the scripture in Romans 6:23. It says, the wages of sin is death. Many of you know this scripture. You've quoted it before yourself. And when you're leading somebody down the Romans road, Romans 3:23, all is sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you've heard that, you've talked about it yourself, but do we really understand what it truly means to say that the wages of sin is death? Now remember, temptation, the lure, leads to sin. Sin leads to death, all right? Now this is kind of a downer message at this point, but I promise you it's going to get better. You're not going to leave here depressed about all the lures in your life and the temptation and the sin that you've committed even. There is a, in ancient Greek mythology, there is a mythical creature called the siren. Anybody ever heard of the siren before? Uh-oh, watch out now. Sirens, let me see what you know about the siren. Somebody that raised their hand, Stephen Beck, come on up here, man. I had a microphone, but whatever. Jenkins got it. All right, come on up here, Beck, and tell me what you know about the siren. Thank you. Give us a little Greek mythology lesson here, if you will.
The siren is like some mythical creature on an island that sings to get sailors that are going by the island to come to their island so they can eat them.
Whoa, dude! You have watched a lot of TV or read a lot of Homer's Odyssey. I don't know. Anybody read the Odyssey? Anybody read the Cliff Notes on the Odyssey? More hands? All right. The sirens, they exactly what Beck explained to you guys. They're in Greek mythology, the female creatures probably who are best known for their part in the Odyssey, Homer's The Odyssey, where their song lured sailors to their death. All right, Lord. Now, here's a quote from the Odyssey in which Circe, thank you for your correction there. Circe warns Odysseus about the sirens. Here's what he says. "You will come first of all to the sirens, who are enchanters of all mankind, and whoever comes their way. And that man who unsuspecting approaches them and listens to the sirens singing has no prospect of coming home and delighting his wife and the little children as they stand about him in greeting. But the sirens, by the melody of their singing, enchant him." Would you say that the siren is a lure? Thank you. Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate your participation there, man. Feel you, dude. "They sit in their meadow, but the beach before it is piled with bone heaps of men now rotted away." Can you picture the imagery there? "And the skins shrivel upon them. You must drive straight on past, but melt down sweet wax of honey, and with it stop your companions' ears so none can listen. The rest, that is, but if you yourself are wanting to hear them, then have them tie you hand and foot on the fast ship, standing upright against the mast with the rope's ends lashed around it, so that you can have joy in hearing the song of the sirens. But if you supplicate your men and implore them to set you free, then they must tie you fast with even more lashings." So the idea that he warns the captain of the ship, if you want to hear their song, well, then just have them tie you to the mast so that you can enjoy the singing yet not be enticed, because the rest of your companions, your shipmates, have their ears plugged. They can't hear the singing, and thus they aren't drawn away. Isn't that interesting? That the sirens are a picture of a lure, of a temptation. And this is, you know, ancient Greek mythology here, but doesn't it apply to our lives even today? Aren't there sirens around you, summoning you with their song? And you think, oh, it's just a nice melody. It's just, man, that sounds really good. Man, that looks enticing over there. Man, that feels really nice. Oh, and before you know it, you're drawn away and you're led and you're enticed into your impending doom. Because what happens with the sirens, the ships would crash on their rocky shores, and ultimately, they would become siren food, the sailors would. Now, sin, the wages of sin is death. I don't want to get you know, bummed out about your life. And I don't know, in the 10 years that I've been youth pastor here at Good News Church, that I've ever done a message completely on sin. You know? Like, we don't really talk a lot about sin here. We talk about God's goodness and living the abundant life, but there are clear and present dangers of sin. And that's one of the reasons that God warns us that the wages of sin is death. It's not to be a Debbie Downer and get you to not live a good life and not have fun. It's because God knows that the end of the road that you're traveling on, temptation aisle, temptation way, leads to death. And God doesn't want you to have death. He wants you to experience life and experience it to the full. And so there are clear warnings. James says to the people here, don't be misled. Don't listen to the siren song. And I love Circe's, what he pointed out there about the companions. Well, just, you know, put some honey in their ears. Just stop up their ears so they don't even experience that temptation. They're not enticed by that thing. But you and I, guess what? We don't have that luxury in our lives in a lot of ways. Temptation is all around us. Am I speaking truth tonight? Temptation is everywhere. And apart from Christ's offer of forgiveness, apart from Christ's free gift, eternal life, payday is going to come for your sin. The wages, the payment for sin is death. And that's one payday you don't look forward to. Anybody here have a job? You got a job, you look forward to payday? You get that check and or direct deposit, however it flows on your side of things. And you're like, now I got paid. I got money in the bank. I can do some stuff. I can have a little fun. I can go to the movies. I can go see Hunger Games. Yeah, great movie. Yeah, it was. Make me want to go buy a bow and arrow, I'm telling you right now. But sin, man. Sin, the payment for sin is one payday you don't look forward to. Because it's ultimately death, destruction. And did you, and you know this, I mean, your actions have consequences. Anybody have any parents that dole out some consequences for your actions? Maybe it's a restriction. You don't get to do what you want to do. Maybe it's something that's being taken away from you because you did something wrong. Maybe it's a timeout. Okay, that's what I give to my daughter. That's all I know about discipline right now. Timeout and spankings. Oh, yeah. Spare the rod, spoil the child. That's what's up. Temptation. Temptation leads to sin. Sin leads to death. But how do you overcome the lures? How do you overcome temptation's lure? The enticement of your desires. How do you overcome those things? Because the truth is, you can't just stop up your ears and expect to not hear the song of the siren. Because everywhere you go, wherever you find yourself in life, there is going to be a song luring you to your death. That's a sad truth right there. But it doesn't have to end that way. Here's the good news. It doesn't have to end that way. Well, how do you overcome the temptation? How do you overcome? Because that's the beginning. That is the moment where sin begins, is temptation. But if you're tempted, that doesn't mean you have to sin. It doesn't mean you have to give in. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. Everybody's turning. I got to find it myself. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. And we'll be in the NIV. Bada bing, bada boom. It should make you feel better about finding verses in your Bible because it's taken me a while here. Page 969 on your Bible there. All right. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." A lot of people use this verse to say, well, God won't put more on you than you can bear. But that is not what it says. We read in James that God isn't the one tempting you. God isn't the one putting trials and tribulations in your path. But people look at this verse, and I just want to correct that for a moment in the body of Christ. And there's music about it and all kinds of false teaching based on this passage. But it doesn't. There's nowhere in the Bible that says God won't put more on you than you can bear. Now, this scripture does say that he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But does that imply that he's the one putting on the temptation? No. He's not the one tempting you. James said, "Let no one say God is tempting me, for God himself cannot be tempted, nor can he tempt others." But look here, it says, every temptation that you face, you're not alone. There's no temptation that has seized you, no temptation that's come your way except that which is common to man, that which anybody has experienced. So a lot of people think, well, I'm all alone here, so I just said give in or whatever. Nobody's ever gone through this before. No, what you're facing, what you're dealing with, the things that are coming through your life, the song that you're hearing is not a new song just for you. The song's already been played other people have heard it and have given in. It says, but God is faithful. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And here's how. Because when you are tempted, he will provide a way out. There is an exit. There is an escape for the temptation. There is a way to not give in to the temptation that you experience. What is the way? Is it willpower? Is it just saying to yourself, I won't do this. I'm not going to do this. No. Not going to do it. Or is it like chalkboard confessions? You know, every time you mess up, you just write 100 times on your legal pad, I will not do blah, 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 blah. Or is it, here's one that I use, and I was telling myself when I was a teenager, I used to have a problem with pornography. And so what I would do, I would put this, me and my brother, we had this is like dial-up, right? We had to wait for our sin to load. let's just ease the tension a little bit here. AOL, man. AOL. So we print out the scripture, Psalm 101. I'm gonna show you exactly what we printed out. And we printed this scripture out. We put it on our I'm nervous. Okay. Talking about my sin. All right, brother. Appreciate you. That's not it. So that's the sad part. Can't even remember what the scripture was. All right, basically what the scripture said is, I will set no vile thing before my eyes. It's one of the Psalms out of the 150. I will set no vile thing before my eyes. Hey! What? That was Psalm 101, verse 3. I just didn't see it. Thank you, Grayson. You're my hero. So here it is, Psalm 101, verse 3, printed out on my big CRT computer monitor. Not a little flat screen. AOL, dial up. We print this out. You know what I'm saying? Is this the way to overcome temptation? I tell you, for me, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Sometimes what I'd do, type with one hand, cover up the verse with the other. Temptation is strong, you guys. The lure of the siren song is strong. And you know what? It takes more than just willpower. It takes more than just beating yourself up after you've given in to the temptation and the sin and said, well, I'll never do that again. I will never, ever, ever, ever do that again. It takes more than that. It takes more than printing out a Bible verse and sticking it on your mirror or wherever it is that you go to sin and saying, hey, I'm not going to do that. This is a reminder right here. I mean, seriously, it takes more than wearing your I Give Life bracelet or your WWJD or whatever. It takes more than an external force to help you overcome temptation. It's more than willpower, more than chalkboard confessions, more than just a scripture on a page. The scripture has to go beyond the page and has to be written on your heart. And to the point where you're as disgusted at the temptation as your Heavenly Father is. And I have to admit that point in my life where I was struggling with this addiction, and it was an addiction, it had gripped me. At this point in my life when I was struggling with that, I could honestly say that I desired that more than I desired relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that thing, it took a higher place than my relationship with Christ did. With scripture on a page, I was going through the motions. I would go to church Sunday, Wednesday, yet I was living with this perpetual problem. I would even say, you know, this week I'm going to beat it. This is my year. This summer camp, I laid it down. God, that's yours. Help me with my problem. Help me with my addiction. Month goes by. Guess what song I start hearing? The siren song. said, I'm bringing sexy back. No. Might as well. And I fell back into temptation. Listen to the words of Jesus here in Matthew 26:41. We'll read the NIV. Go ahead and put it up there. Let's all check it out together. I hope this is helping you tonight. I just want to be real. Matthew 26:41, it says, watch and pray. Everybody say, watch and pray. So that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray, Jesus said to his disciples. Guess what? Jesus understands that you're going to face temptation in your life. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the very number of the hairs on your head. He loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He knows exactly what you're going through, and his message, his urge to you and I tonight is the same urge that he had to his disciples 2,000 years ago. Watch and pray so that you won't fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. You know how I understood that the spirit was willing, but the body was weak? Because every time after I would sin, every time I would set something vile before my eyes when I knew I wasn't supposed to, then I had this conviction that what I was doing, one, was wrong. I felt bad about it. And my spirit genuinely said, this is going to destroy you. You're headed the way of destruction right now. But my flesh was weak. Watch and pray. And then Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. I've hidden your word in my heart. That's why I said it's more than just a scripture on a page on a computer screen where you go to do your sinning. It's hiding God's word in your heart. And what's the purpose? So that you might not sin against him. And it's more than just, oh God, I want to please you. I don't want you to be mad at me. It's more than, you know, it's more than offending God. Because the truth is, regardless of your sin and your circumstance, if you've called upon Christ as your Savior, God does not see your sin anymore. He sees you through the blameless, spotless Lamb of Christ. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And that's the way he views us. However, your sin still has consequences. Your sin still leads towards death. If not dealt with. Now, you'll surely, if you've called upon Jesus as your Savior, you will surely go to heaven when you die. You will not experience spiritual death. You have eternal life. However, physically speaking, and in regards to your life, you can still, even as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, you can still experience death. I know it because I've seen people, I've seen preachers fall into temptation, and it destroy their ministries, and ultimately it destroy their families. Just be real. James said to not be misled. Don't be led away. Don't be misled. Don't be led away into away from God's plan for your life. Don't jump after the lures that are lures that are coming your way. Don't go after those things. Fulfill God's plan. And, you know, Peter echoed the same thing when he said in 1 Peter 5:8, Be sober, be vigilant, for your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be on the watch. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray. Be on the lookout, because you need to be able to tell the difference between a counterfeit and the truth. Because what happens, and we see this in relationships so many times, that a counterfeit will come along and you'll think, man, I'm in love. You got these butterflies every time you talk to her or him. Your knees get weak, your palms are sweaty, you're all shook up. You got to have that hunkle-hunkle burning love. But you may think, man, she's the one, or he's the one, and then you know what happens? He gets to vibing on the whole fact that you think he's the one, and then he starts kind of singing his own song and saying, oh, baby, I love you. I love you. And guess what? If you love me, you will fill in the blank. Can I get real here tonight? And we think this is the real thing, but it's an artificial, counterfeit, fake to lure you away and lead you to temptation, to sin, to death. It ain't real. It ain't the real deal. It ain't what God has for you, because the real thing is so much better than the fake. The real thing, God's plan, God's design for your life, God's design for sex, love, marriage, that is so much better than what you're enticed by right now. And with the real thing, there are no adverse circumstances and consequences that come along with it. I'm saying these things tonight because I love you. I believe that God showed me this because some of you are dealing with some very real struggles right now, some very real temptations, some very real things that have gripped you and are leading you towards death, towards destruction of your life, destruction of the ministry that God had planned for you to minister to others. God's plan is far greater than the lure of the enemy. It's far greater than the lure of any counterfeit or artificial thing that the enemy would try to entice you with. And we're all enticed by various things. We all have the various baits that we go after. I mean, any good fisherman knows. I'm going to talk like I know what I'm talking about tonight, about fishing. Any good fisherman knows that you don't use the same bait for every kind of fish. Do you? Anybody fishing here can confirm or deny what I'm talking about. All right. I need somebody to bust this myth here. There are so many lures that will entice different types of fish. And guess what? The enemy, the ultimate fly fisher in this case, knows exactly what's going to entice you. And guess what? He's going to flaunt it by you every chance he gets. And unless you're sober, you're vigilant, you're watching and praying, then you will fall into temptation. And you will give in to sin. And you will be on death's road. And it's time to make a U-turn. It's time to, for many of you tonight, it's time to repent. It's time to turn around and go the opposite direction. It's time to change your mind about what you're experiencing and what you're going through. It's time to make a full-out, all-out commitment to Christ and his plan for your life. I'm talking about James chapter 4. Let me read the scripture and we'll close. Here, if you want to come up and play, or one of you dudes. James chapter 4. Let's put up, begin with verse 7 in the message, if you will, Grace. All right. Here's what I want you to do. So let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. I love the imagery there. I remember being in college, going after God's plan for my life, really feeling like I'm doing what God's, you know, God has me. Feel like I'm in the place where God wants me to be at. And I remember late one night, I'm lying in bed, and my brother comes in, and he is just broken. He is just torn up. And that night, he had lost his virginity, given somebody that didn't have his best interest at heart. And you know, I didn't know what to say. I mean, I'd been there before. I'd understood what the temptation for that was like. And thankfully, I didn't lose my virginity before I got married. But I saw what he went through. And I saw that he had given in. He had been enticed, given in to temptation. And ultimately, the enemy wanted to use that to destroy him. And he was so broken. And he came to me and he said, "Brother, I got to tell you what I just did. And I feel horrible about myself. I feel horrible about this decision that I've made. I feel horrible about everything that's gone on. And I don't know what to do." And I just kind of woke up. I was in a stupor and really not even realizing what was going on. But God directed me to the scripture and realized this is part of the answer to temptation, but also part of the answer to getting your life back on track with what God has for you, is to yell a loud no to the devil and to say a quiet yes to God. And the translation said, "Submit yourself to God, therefore, resist the devil and he will flee." And that's the bottom line, is that you and I, those of us who are facing temptation, those of us who have given in to temptation, we really need to take inventory of our lives and say, well, what is it? Where am I really at? Are you at the position where I was at many, many, many years ago with the scripture on my computer screen, yet still doing exactly what I knew was wrong, regardless of God's plan for my life? And if you're at that point, it's time to hit bottom, get on your knees before the master, because it's the only way that you'll get out. Maybe you're at the point tonight where you just, you know you've messed up, you know you've given in to temptation, you know you're on the wrong path, but you don't really know how to get out. And you've made commitment after commitment to God, "I'll never do that again," but guess what? You've done it again and again. And I want to extend Christ's forgiveness to you tonight. You can have a clean slate. Scripture says if God is faithful and just, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm not talking about, you know, you get up here and I'll hand the mic into your face and you confess in front of everybody exactly what you've done and when you've done it. I'm not saying for you to tell anybody what you've done. It's probably embarrassing and shameful, and nobody needs to know about that. It can be just between you and God. But I want to open up this opportunity for you to really just kind of deal with it. Deal with it on the way that you need to deal with it. I want to first extend this opportunity for anybody here tonight. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, the Scripture does say that the penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ultimately, sin, if you're not confronted with Christ's forgiveness, sin will ultimately lead you to eternal separation from God. And that's not God's plan for anybody. The very first step to getting on the right path is to accept Christ's offer of free forgiveness and accept His gift of eternal life so that your spirit can be made new, you can be born again, and you can be on the road to fulfilling God's abundant plan for your life. If that's you here tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed, and you say, "Pastor Nate, I want to make myself right with God tonight. I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. I want to give my life, my heart to Christ tonight. I want God's forgiveness of my sin. I want everlasting life. I want to be sure that I know that I'm going to heaven when I die." Would you, if you say that's me, that's what I want right now, lift your hand right now. If that's you, you want to accept Christ's offer of free forgiveness and eternal life right now, lift your hand. Anybody in here? On another level, if you're here tonight and this message, this reality has kind of pricked your heart and you've been going down the wrong path and you've kind of strayed from God's plan for your life, you say, I've met Jesus before, I've called upon Him as my Savior, but right now I really feel like I'm struggling in my relationship with Him, and I want you to pray for me. I want to get it right. I want to make it right with God. I want to restore my commitment with God. If that's you, would you lift your hand? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to call you out anyway. If you say, that's me, pray for me. I feel like I've gotten off the path. Amen. I want to pray for you guys. Thank you. I want to pray for the folks that raised their hand just now. And then finally, Jankel, if you want to come and we're going to do a song. I want to have everybody stand. Go ahead and stand. And as a way for you to respond to the message, to respond to God's call, God's plea to your heart, I want to open the opportunity for you to come. You can kneel, you can pray, exactly where you are. However you feel that God is dealing with you, to make a commitment, to make a bold step of faith, a way for you to just step out and say, God, I mean business. I'm serious. I'm really serious right now. And God, I need your help. I need your help to overcome the temptation that I'm facing. God, I know it's not your desire for me to walk towards death and to be on this road towards destruction. And I offer you my life. Use me. Have your will. Do your way in my life. And I want to just, as a way for you to just kind of get real with God and get real serious about where you're at in your relationship with Him, just listen to Him on the inside and do what He prompts you to do as far as the response. Does that make sense to everybody? I want to pray for you, and then we can all respond. Father, I thank you for this message tonight. I pray for these students, first of all, that they would not give in to the lures of sin, the lures of temptation, the song of the siren that's enticing them to go opposite from your plan for their lives. I pray that you give them the strength to overcome every temptation that they face. I thank you, Father, that Christ lives victorious on the inside of them, that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, that they watch and they pray, that they're sober, that they're vigilant, they're alert, they know the enemy's trickery, and they will not give in, that they will desire your plan far greater than the enticement of the enemy. And I pray that they'll have the audacity to step out in faith and make a firm commitment to live for you, to fulfill your plan for their lives, to not fall into the enemy's trap. And Father, I thank you for victory for every single student in here. Victory over the enemy. Victory over the world. victory in every circumstance and situation. And Father, with every temptation, I trust that you make a way of escape and that it's so plain, so clear. Just like if all the lights were off in here, that we would see the exit signs leading the way out of this room. That you would make their escape so plain that they can see it in the midst of that situation that they're facing. And God, they'll run head on towards the exit, towards the way of escape that you make for them. Now, Father, I thank you that you embolden these students to respond in the way that you're speaking to them right now. Respond in faith, respond in boldness to make and renew a commitment with you as you're leading them. In Jesus' name, amen. So I think a lot of times you hear a message like this, and why I tend to even stray away from preaching a message like this is because we get into this hole of self-doubt and unworthiness, you know? Like we can't be in God's presence because of our sin. But the fact is that because of God's grace, sin has been overcome. Sin has been defeated. But you do have a say in whether or not sin's defeat is enforced in your life. Do you realize that tonight? And so what we're talking about is enforcing sin's defeat in your life, especially those of you who are out there and nobody responded to calling upon Jesus for the first time. So I trust that we're all Christians in here tonight. If you're a born-again child of God, then you have the very right, because of who you are and whose you are, to enforce Satan's defeat in your life. And the scripture says in Romans 6:14, we'll put it in the New Living, it says this: sin is no longer your master. Say, sin is not my master. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. See, I live under God's grace. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. And that's the level of living that we should all be experiencing in this place tonight. We've become slaves of righteous living. We wholeheartedly obey this teaching. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you that sin is no longer our master. The sin has no dominion over us. Temptation has no... temptation song does not entice us. But we are free from sin and from the effects of sin. We thank you for your grace for us, your grace poured out over us. And we tap into your grace for this righteous living. We become slaves of righteous living. And we thank you, Father, that because we give ourselves over wholeheartedly to your plan, that we lead others into this new way of life, into a life of freedom, a life of truth, a life of grace, a life of blessing and blessing others. We thank you for it. We call these students blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.